Yo, what's up, DTL? We are making history today. My name is Mrs. Shaken Blake, and I am proudly on this podcast as the first and only female, unless Coach McVicker finds himself an assistant coach. But today, we don't have Coach McVicker on here. We have Coach Jacob XC16 from the Ames Thundercats, and he is going to be talking with Coach Shaken Blake from the Fremont Mighty Tarzans. All right.
All right, thank you.
Mrs.
Thank you, Miss Shaken Blake. We are here today. I'm like my wife and first female reporter on this podcast announced. I'm here with Coach Jacob XC of the Ames Thundercats. How are we doing today, Coach?
Oh, just fantastic. Ready to talk some basketball.
Oh, for sure. Well, we have today, we have the, I believe it's the Ogle group that we'll be talking about today. We'll start with the number one seed, the Knoxville Nightmares out of Conference 18. Last year, they were 19 and 5, ranked 10th, and the strength schedule of 13. They were a four seed in the NTT and finished 34th. And they graduate the 23-12 class, which contained two starters, the namesake Christian Ogle at their small forward position and Jarrett Davenport, their shooting guard. And they, like they said, graduate the 23-12 class, and they bring in the 117-117 class. So a little bit of a drop off, but not crazy. This team has plenty of talent lying around. What do you see here first, coach?
Well, the first thing that pops my eye is their center, Jordan James. That man is a freak of nature, with his 26 points a game, 12 rebounds, and on top of that, my favorite and a big, he's getting over 2.5 assists a game. Like, they don't lose him. He's not just coming to be a, believe he's going to be a junior this year. And but they, like you said, they do lose two senior starters. But they, looking at their high school class here, they are bringing in a couple guys that have a potential to start and replace those two guys that they are losing, and actually maybe even better if they translate from high school to college, but that's always never a guarantee. So
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I was just trying to pull up Sims here. He looks like the headliner in this class of that 117. He small forward, quality player, 19 points per game, a 57.2% true shot, 3.2 assists per game. Not a ton of defense potentially, at least in the statistics category. Not many steals, not many blocks. But I imagine he's a plug and play for one of the positions. I would say most likely small forward since he can pass a little bit. But beyond that, it might have to be someone, I don't know. It's tough to know for sure. I mean, you got Gabriel Barrow. He was in that really good 5'3" class, but he doesn't look all that fantastic. Only had one starting freshman, starting out of a decent class. Doesn't look like they have a ton of talent, at least on the surface talent. You get a backup small forward, career backup small forward, and you do have Brett Stevens, who played center for his first season, so maybe he comes in and plays. He at least has some starting experience. Great rebounder. 11.4 in high school. About 9.5 in college too. So maybe he plugs in at power forward and then he can move McKenzie up. Tough to know for sure exactly what he'll do, but this Knoxville team is locked and loaded. They are a crazy good team here. I imagine this team runs through Jordan James pretty significantly.
for sure, for sure.
Yeah. Then we got the two seed in here. We have the Glendale Gutten Busters out of Conference 27, a run mate of mine, coached by Asweli Five. They have a record 16-8 last year, ranked 25th, 18th strength schedule because they have the gauntlet of 27 to run through. They graduate the 114-92, which contained no starters, so always a good start there. And they were an NTT team last year, too. They were a sixth team and finished 25th. Like I said, they graduate the 144-92, and they bring in the 76-49, sorry. So a little bit of upgrade there. What do you initially see here?
Well, I mean, what I'm seeing is like they fully run through their bigs with their Lou Jackson getting 22 a game and David Campbell getting 25.6 a game, as well as just dominating the boards. And like you said before, they aren't losing any seniors. So I don't know if any of the freshmen or high schoolers coming in, freshmen, are going to take a starting spot. I could see maybe, I guess I got Peebles might want to keep there just because that man can pass the ball. But overall, I think their starting lineup might stay the same since all the seniors are on the, off the bench. And then I think what they're picking up from high school here, I think is a potentially just a bunch of bench fillers again. Potentially, I could see Alfonso Eldridge becoming in the starting lineup, maybe taking that point guard spot. But that's, again, it's just that's kind of going to have to be a situational thing. You lose a little bit of height there and everything, but overall I'm thinking that they're, this team's pretty much the same and is kind of ready and set to go for the next season.
Yeah, we'll see. I know running next to them last year, they probably struggled with post defense the most last year. They had a lot of high scoring games. The opponents were they were a high flying team, scored 87.5 a game, but they also led up 80.
Yep.
And they got often, if they were going to get beat, they got beat down low. So we'll see, but I wouldn't be surprised if Alexis Burkett, he's a 7-footer, comes in, not the highest rebounder yet, at a 7-footer, 10 rebounds isn't crazy. It's not bad either, but he provides a passing and he's got almost 3 blocks a game. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him slide in at center. And then you might be able to move up Campbell and Jackson up the position, get them more of a advantageous height advantage, especially for Jackson. The question then becomes who you're going to bench. I know. Right. I would, if I had to guess, just playing them consistently, somewhat consistency, Peebles definitely is the passer. And then Fernando is also pretty solid. I would say if somebody were to go, I would say probably Fernando. At least you don't lose the passing Peebles provides. James Moore he was a highly ranked senior out of high school. Did not really perform his first year, but I think he might be poised for a breakout potentially. So yeah, this team might be really good if Burkett can come in, provide some defense and some passing. Lewis Jackson and Campbell and then Moore, those three could just dominate.
This is gonna be
a high flying offense.
I would say I think this is definitely more of an offensive minded team. I'm not sure if Burt can get in there and play some defense. That'd be fantastic for them, but I think they're going to be that shootout kind of fashion team again.
For sure. We will see. Then we've got a team that you're pretty familiar with, we could say. We have your team, the Ames Thundercats, at a Conference 19, clearly coached by you. 17-7 record, 12-1 in conference. Which is fantastic. Actually, congratulations. I think this is your first NTT appearance last year.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We got the 11 seed, finished 58th. Ranked 80th. Not the highest ranked schedule, as Conference 19 isn't super strong right now, but hey, you can't control who you play. Right. And you graduate the 102-68, containing one senior, Travis Vogel. Came in and helped a little bit last year, and you bring in the 180-178 class. Not probably exactly what you expected.
No, we didn't quite hit on the recruiting this year, but as I've said this past previous season, I am but definitely a live by Lee with his 31.6 points per game. And I think
season leader last year.
Yep, and I think he had four or five games over 42 points. So like it's, and then you just look at the stats here. Losing Vogel is actually going to be a lot bigger than you would think just based on his numbers. Like he was our second leading scorer with a solid 11.3. But he was getting almost 6 rebounds a game and 4 assists or 3.5 assists from the small forward position. So like he's a big loss to this team that already only had limited offense. I'm kind of hoping that at least Zachary Erbhardt can come in and kind of fill that void a little bit, but I do believe that this is another year where we're going to be changing the team name to Live by Lee.
I mean, when you have such a dominant shooter like Anthony Lee is, you know, was dominant in high school, clearly was extremely dominant last year. The switch to point guard, being an oversized point guard, definitely helped. Quite the player. Do you think Austin Anderman might actually show up this year? I know he was that guy that, for I guess context guy, people, he had 20 points per game in high school on 68% true shot and 5.5 assists. He had some turnover issues, but they haven't really shown up in college. Do you think he might be able to actually show up this year going into his junior season?
I think he is too smart for his own good. He is refusing to shoot the ball, even if he has a hot hand, but he's going to try to dish it out first, even though he only had 3.5 assists per game, which, so like, I'm hoping that he can kind of turn it around just to put up the shots. He's just not putting up the shots. Even if he's 5 for 5, he's stopped and taken shots at that point. So it's, if he can come and become our second leading scorer on the team and just be a fill in to kind of replace Vogel and kind of take on a little bit more of the role. So it's not all falling on Lee. We might have a better chance to make a little bit deeper of a run than we did. And as you said, our conference was not super strong. I will give a shout out to Hot Springs. They really made it a battle for that number one or the conference tournament. That was very stressful playing them because we were very similar. But otherwise, I will also want to give a shout out to my lovely center in Corbin with his 10.8 rebounds a game and also on top of that 5 assists a game, which, as you know, that is my ideal big. I love bigs that pass the ball. So,
and actually, a little low on blocks last year. He was over three the previous two seasons.
He was a little bit low on blocks. I think he also increased personal fouls, if I'm right. He got a little bit more foul trouble this year than his sophomore season. But going into his senior year, hopefully he has another breakout year. He's not going to score for me, but if he gets me those assists and the blocks and the rebounds and stuff, that he's definitely doing his part. He is my defensive focal point. So it's basically the Lee and Corbin show in Ames.
Hey, best class, got to ride them. So yeah, no, it should be a good season for Ames, the Thundercats again. I'm not sure how conference 19 is this year, but I imagine Hot Springs will still be in it. And hopefully somebody else is around.
I think last year was a down year. The previous seasons before that, we were always a very, very competitive conference where I had harder schedules. I think everyone just kind of had a rough recruiting class last season in our conference. So I do expect our conference to get a little bit more tougher this year. But I will gladly take that 12-1 record last year all the time. So
definitely can't control your play. So might as well win the games you're supposed to. So
exactly.
Yeah. So we got the 4 seed in here. We got the Wooster Italian Mafia, the Conference 2, coached by Stat Wolf. 13-11 last season, ranked 70th, strength schedule 22. They were RTT team last year, which isn't probably what this team is used to. They were in quite the NTT run there for a while, but last season, which just didn't quite happen. So RTT team last year. Graduate the 8-1 class, which also isn't the friendliest, with their starting center and power forward who were kind of some of their top scorers. But they bring in the 40-48, so a little bit of a drop-off, but, I mean, it could be worse. So, I guess, what do you see here?
Well, obviously, they lose their bigs on their starting lineup here, but it looks like from high school, they are went all after three fairly big guys. I could honestly see either Michael Blackshear or Roderick Grebe both taking over those starting roles at power forward and center. Because of high school, Blackshear looks like he had 10.5 rebounds a game with 13 points and just under 3 blocks a game. So he could be definitely a plug-in starter. Just we'll see again if it translates to the college level. Otherwise, I think besides that, I think the roster or lineup kind of stays fairly similar. I don't see any of their bench players kind of moving up to the starting lineup or anything like that. But yeah, definitely, I think we'll see either Grebe or Blackshear or both in the starting lineup next year for this team.
Yeah, I'd say I'd probably lean both, most likely. They're both efficient shooters, especially, which is nice for a center. A 7-foot center, not a ton of points, 13 points per game, but 57% true shot is mighty fine. He'll be a plug and play center. And then I'd see Grebe probably coming in, pretty efficient shooter too. Decent rebounding for sure. Got a steal and a half, not a ton of blocks for playing a center in high school, only with one, but I mean, and a little bit foul heavy too, 3.3 fouls. So not super, not exactly probably, I don't know. It's hard to know what this coach was going for. He really needed height. I don't think Devin Young, I think he learned on pretty quickly. He wasn't it at center because he was running a 6'8 center. So yeah, I see definitely Blackshear and Grebe going in. They don't lose a ton of shooting. Shooting output, it was kind of a four-headed monster last year, but I could definitely see Grebe definitely getting the 16 points that Greer was getting at power forward, and Blackshear only needs, I mean, he got 13 in high school, he can do 13 again. At least this team can stay consistent. Yeah, hopefully a little bit more efficient than they were, as efficiency was not their strong suit last year. So yeah, I guess overall, what do you kind of see out of this group in general? They taking it or close think, teams? What do you think?
I think I have to say that Knoxville is going to run away with this one. They step Jordan James, and they like that man alone. When you can get a big that can score and be a get the rebound, stuff like that, like it's really tough to beat that. And then also they're bringing in like the Cameron Taylor and Ian Sims, like both those guys could make that lineup and make the lineup even more potent on offense. Defensively, it's still hard to say, but compared to, I know my team struggled on defense a little bit, so it's I think they're gonna run away with it.
Yeah, for sure. I could definitely Jordan James obviously will do his thing. But no, I don't think anyone's expecting anything less. Ian Sims will definitely be a nice plug and play. I think Cameron Taylor, I'm thinking coach saying the 19 points per game and was thinking that's pretty nice, but 50% true shot is not particularly what you want to see. Some of it's in free throws, so that might be some of it, but still not exactly what you want to see for not an efficient shooter. So, yeah, if Ian Sims can come in and just play well, and then they can find somebody else to fill in Jared Davenport, I think they're going to be a strong team. I think Glendale could also make a run at this. They're also high-flying, and it's going to kind of depend on Burt. If he can play defense and maybe slow down like a Jordan James or somebody else like that, they're definitely able to get in with the cheesecloth, which is 4-2 in conference, and then a plus of, I can't remember off the top of my head. You will have to remind me. I think they're definitely a strong contender to be in. at least with the cheese claws. So, yeah, but I can see Glendale definitely making a run at this if Burks can come in and play defense, because give Lewis Jackson, who was already scoring 22 points per game at power forward, advantageous matchups against smaller guys at small forward, might be deadly. So, yeah, so that was the Ogle group. We'll be back with another group here shortly.